So I turned 40 a year ago, and I swore it as I turned 40. And turning 40, by the way, is more fun than being 40 so far. I have 3 more days of 40. That I would try to do more things that I wouldn't, that I would not have regrets for not having done things that I wanted to do. You got me, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to tell a story. But this one is not going to be as funny as the ones you've heard tonight. Because this is already exercised. And I have a different take on scars. We all have them, right? They're those, we have those fibrous ones, those tight ones that are in the skin and they get all tucked up, right? We have those. We know those. We have those little skin, spidery ones that are smooth to the touch and they're long almost forgotten what happened to them. I have 3 real scars that I can talk about. I'm only going to show you one of them. You'll know why. The most prominent one, the most palpable one, is the one that's the oldest, strangely enough. It was when my cranium interacted rather forcibly with a steel cabinet. That'll do it. I was 16. And since there was no way, for vanity's sake, I was going to go back to high school the next day with a bald spot right here, it was never stitched up. By the way, Sinead O'Connor wasn't quite yet in vogue either, so I wasn't worried about potentially being bald later because that would be cooler chic, nor was I thinking that I might someday have to battle anything that would lead to hair loss. So it was okay that I had this ridge in my scalp. That was okay. The newest scar is the scar that I chose. We don't often choose scars, but I chose this one. Because around the time I was having my worst time in high school, a large, light flesh-colored mole attached itself to my nose right here. And for 22 years, like this unwanted hitchhiker, I saw it in the mirror. And when I was 39, I said, screw this, and I got it removed. So I love this scar. I love this scar. But the scar I remember most, the scar that has the deepest meaning, is the one that, it's the only one that required local anesthesia when they put you under, like Coma World. And it was about 6 years ago. I was, I went down to Florida to visit my family. It was turning, I was a birthday time. And when I arrived, my dad was sick. And he, the lung surgeon, you know, you always want a surgeon who's an asshole, by the way, don't you? You want the egotistical, God complex person to surge you. The nurses we talked to said, yes, Hofer's an ass, but we want him to work on us should we ever have problems with our lungs. And Hofer worked on my father and described trying to sew up his lungs as sewing wet tissue paper that every hole he tried to close created bigger ones. So we closed him up and said, don't get on the plane, don't go home. The last words my father said to me were, happy birthday. And that's a wonderful thing. And he died 6 days later on a Friday. It was August 3rd. So we buried him. We had a memorial a few days later on the Tuesday. Wednesday we flew home. And Thursday morning at 9 a.m., I was under the knife myself. I was getting a lump taken out of my left breast that had been growing really fast, and I wasn't going to put it off. And I have to tell you that this scar, more than any, this scar is a gift for 2 reasons. One, I'm very grateful for the surgeon who was skilled, for the location of the lump and the surgeon who was skilled, because that thin line of scar that goes just around my nipples, you can't even see it. I have to look for it. It will never surprise me. That's a gift. But it's also a gift that I had been due back at work 9 days earlier. And because I had just been in the hospital myself, because I had to, with doctor's orders, lie down, because I was on pain meds, I had permission to. I had doctor's orders not to get up, not to go back to work, not to pretend like nothing had happened. So my scars, particularly that one, be they chosen or accidental as a child, but this scar is a gift. And I appreciate that. And that's my take on scars. Thank you.